Welcome back to Coastal Connection. I'm Brian Russo. Now that the elections are over, where do we go from here? Will the vitriol of negative campaign rhetoric fade away, or will the divisiveness between the two parties continue in Maryland? Joining me to talk about all of this is Greg Bassett, the executive editor of the Daily Times in Salisbury. Greg, thanks for joining me here on Coastal Connection.
Thanks for having me.
Also joining us by phone is Steve Green. He's the publisher and editor of the Maryland Coast Dispatch. Steve, welcome back to the program.
Thanks, Brian.
So let's start on the local level. Ocean City, huge voter turnout. I don't think the total numbers are in quite yet, but we will know them soon. But it looks on the surface that turnout was double to last election. Steve Green, tell me what were some of the big takeaway things for you, not only in the turnout, but the landslide margin of victory.
Well, definitely, you know, turnout, if you start there, because, you know, we don't have the exact number either, but I know it's over 3,000. So that is double, you know, that's impressive. And that kind of feeds into the new direction team being the four that were elected, you know, Dennis Dare, Mary Knight, Doug Simek, and Joe Matresik, and, of course, Mayor Meehan. It was a clear mandate. You know, there's no question, you can't spin it any other way. They, the mandate for change, the mandate away from the council majority that has been running government for the last 2 years. You know, also of note, of course, was the General Employees Union that failed, and that was kind of the new direction team's mantra. Don't vote for the union. Elect us. We'll restore trust, faith, and the relationship will improve with the employees. So, I mean, it worked out as perfectly as it possibly could for the new direction team.
Certainly. And, you know, you looked at it last night, and in many elections, the difference between the final council seat, that fourth seat, and the person who comes in fifth is, you know, 20 votes, 40 votes, 60 votes. This one was 600 votes, maybe almost 700 votes between former council president, or now former council president, Jim Hall, and Doug Simek, who got the last seat. Greg Bassett, were you surprised by the gigantic margin of victory for this very large voting block of Dare, Knight, Matresik, and Simek?
Yeah, I looked at it quickly today, and it's unprecedented. Usually, you know, it's within 20 or 30 votes between the fourth and fifth spot, but there's a huge gap. Like you said, you know, 600 votes is a clear definition.
It was interesting to me watching as the polls were opened and the numbers were read that incumbents Jim Hall and Joe Hall pretty much snuck out the back door as they got to the second or third machine. Steve Green, did that surprise you? Have you ever seen anything like that before? And have we seen the last of Jim and Joe Hall? Do you think that they will fade off the political radar here in Ocean City?
Well, you know, first, yes, it did surprise me. Usually you do see some sort of congratulatory handshake, and you know, no matter how hurt feelings are at that time. But this was a different campaign. There was a lot of emotion in this, and there was a lot of vitriol, and you know, the advertising just went way negative, and in many ways misleading, false, you know, contextually inaccurate. So I believe that played a part of it. You know, last night's scene there was quite unique, I think, in that it was dominated by the new direction team, the mandate for change, and you play devil's advocate. I'm sure they felt uncomfortable. They saw that their support wasn't there, so they figured, you know, we're out of here. And there's the second part, as far as are we done with them, or, you know, are they done with politics, let's say. You know, I think if you ask them today, they would say yes, but, you know, time heals everything, and I wouldn't be surprised if we see him again. You know, Jim Hall has floated possibly running for county commissioner privately to some folks for the Ocean City District, because that was expected to be an open race in 2014. But I bet we'll see him again on some level.
Greg Bassett, where do you think things went wrong for Jim Hall and Joe Hall? Was it the negative campaigns? Was it the firing of Dennis Dare? You know, these guys essentially became the two fall guys for what the different direction that the town wanted to go in. Where do you think the major tripping point was for them?
It seemed to me that the campaigns reflected the tension that was on the council anyway, you know, in their day-to-day business. But certainly Dennis Dare was the big moment and the thing that everyone pointed to. And if you look, Dennis, you know, who ran for a seat, was the top vote getter. So conceivably, he could end up being president of the city council, which would be really, really remarkable if you think about it. But yeah, I think the Dennis Dare situation, the way it was handled, the way it was communicated, the way it surprised people, you know, all the sort of undercover work that was going on involving Dennis Dare. I think that really alienated a lot of people.
Certainly, this is the first time that Rick Meehan has had an opponent, and his opponent was a to say that he was a gigantic underdog is, I think, a vast understatement. Mr. Campanoli, Nick Campanoli, really has no political experience. He just kind of came out of nowhere, responded to an ad in a paper that Joe Hall had taken out to, you know, run against Rick Meehan. But when you look at the numbers, yes, you know, Rick Meehan took 2,238 votes. Nick Campanoli took 629, but does that send a message that a guy with no political experience that answered an ad in the paper can still get 600 votes in this election? So that said, will Rick Meehan have opponents in the future? And will there be a real opponent that comes forward to try and challenge him? Steve Green.
Well, I think at some point he will. Yes. And there are the sentiment, I think, amongst many that, you know, nobody should have a free run. And, you know, he was definitely the candidate that challenged him this year, was certainly overmatched him on all fronts. You know, I mean, is Rick vulnerable to an opponent? I mean, it would have to be somebody highly qualified. You know, when I sat down with a Q&A with Rick, it's hard not to be extremely impressed with his knowledge of the city. And he only, that only grew by being city manager for 10 months after Dennis Dare was removed. So for someone to come and knock him off, I mean, it would take somebody with experience. I don't see a newcomer being successful. I would think Rick is the mayor as long as he wants to be.
Greg Bassett, what do you believe happens with the employees in town? Certainly you and I have had many conversations about how low morale has been since Dennis Dare was dismissed. Even though they lost the union effort last evening, what happens now? Do you think that because of the landslide victory for Dare, Knight, Matresic, and Simek, do you think that morale all of a sudden this morning is much better and everything, you know, kind of moves forward?
Yeah, one of the compelling things about Dennis is that he did have a good relationship with the labor crew. He was really able, I thought, as city manager, to motivate the employees. And the idea that the new direction team, that they articulated that, you know, trust us, we'll restore trust, we'll be able to work diligently with the employees, we'll respect you. That message carried. And, you know, I know Mary Knight was always very vocal about that, and she seemed very sincere. And she sort of articulated the sincerity of the entire group on this issue. And Dennis, certainly, I mean, he was the boss of these people, but he was always considered a very fair boss, a very understanding boss. On the flip, some people thought that he was too accommodating to the city employees, especially in this sort of culture of anti-municipal employees of late. But yeah, I think that's washed away for now. And I think people are willing to give this council a chance on that.
Were there any candidates who surprised either one of you? I look at the numbers and I was actually very surprised to see that first timer or newcomer to the political world in Ocean City, Bob Baker, very, you know, small business guy, ran on pretty much the conservative Republican platform that you would see in any race. He seemed to speak to a lot of people. He actually pulled in more votes than Joe Hall. Steve Green, was he the big surprise for you last night?
Well, he was. I mean, but, you know, Bob just had, it was a tough year for him. He just ran in the wrong year, if you ask me. You know, this was a six-horse race, really, amongst the four incumbents. And then you add in former council president Joe Matresic and, of course, former city manager Dennis Dare. You know, but I thought, I was impressed with his numbers, you know, to come in sixth place. 842 votes to Joe Hall's 806 was impressive. But to me, by far and away, the biggest surprise, and I was surprised that Jim Hall came in fifth place, in the distant fifth place. Mm-hmm. As you mentioned, Joe Simek got 1,680 votes, and Jim Hall got 929. That's a huge change. I mean, Jim Hall had been in office 25 years. It's a known name, but... I mean, the voters, you know, clearly said that his time had come and that they did not approve of what happened over the last 2 years, and maybe even more importantly, the way he ran his campaign in the negative fashion that he did.
And Baker was kind of funny. In one debate, he made the joke that, you know, everyone told him he had no chance to win because he has to run once and lose before he could ever be elected. Mm-hmm. And he seemed kind of resentful about that, but that's really exactly what happened.
Yeah.
And that is true. History says that in many cases that... you know, Simek lost twice before he got elected. Matresic lost at least once. Knight lost once. Now, Dennis Dare, of course, by virtue, I think, of being essentially cast as the victim in this whole council majority power grab over the last 2 years, you know, butted that trend. But I mean, Greg said there, I mean, that's pretty much true. Joe Hall lost before he got elected. You do kind of have to take one on the chin and then come back to get in usually.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Coastal Connection here on 88.3 in Ocean City, Maryland. I'm your host, Brian Russo, and we're speaking with Greg Bassett. He's the executive editor of the Daily Times in Salisbury, as well as Steve Green, the publisher and editor of the Maryland Coast Dispatch. Gentlemen, let's turn from the local level. Let's turn kind of to the statewide elections and decisions. Let's start with the ballot questions. Three huge monumental decisions on the Marylanders' ballots that were passed through. Question six concerning gay marriage. Question seven concerning the expansion of gaming, as well as the DREAM Act. Greg Bassett, for you, which one surprises you the most?
Very close. Gambling passed 52-48 statewide. Same-sex marriage 52-48 as well statewide. The DREAM Act, wider margin, very little advertising on that, 58-42. If you looked at the counties for same-sex marriage, it actually reflected what we thought would happen. Wicomico voted 60-40 against it. Worcester was 59-41 against it. Somerset 65-39 against it. Gambling did better locally than I would have thought. And I think that's interesting. I think there's a story thread, Steve, for us to cover going forward. You know, we've thought that this area was against gambling, but the gambling expansion was supported 53-46 in Wicomico, 55-45 in Worcester, and 53-47 in Somerset. Frankly, I'm surprised that it passed locally as high as it did. The fact that it passed statewide, I don't think was a surprise.
Yeah, and Steve Green, it's been interesting to me since the Ocean Downs Casino was erected and has been in business. You know, there was all that talk back and forth between tourism officials about not wanting it to be there, feeling like it was going to take too big of a slice of the pie, hurt local businesses. It seems like that relationship has been very understated. They just kind of coexist together. Does question seven change that a little bit? Is there going to be a heightened concern with the expansion of gambling in Maryland?
Well, you know, the general manager came before the Economic Development Committee this morning and talked to the business people in Ocean City about, it was perfectly timed, but about question seven and where we go from here. And, you know, I think the sentiment was, and those numbers surprised me as well, that Worcester went as far for as they did. But I think the feeling is that, you know, if gambling's here, slots is here, even though it's fledgling, I would say, in many ways, that the feeling was, you know, we can't beat them, join them, you know, and to stop the exodus of the funds moving elsewhere. There's a lot of questions as far as, you know, obviously the casino owners now will get a larger take. Education is supposed to get more funding from that, but I don't think anyone's holding their breath on thinking that's going to happen. I really think this was more of a feeling of, you know, let's vote for it, because what's the difference between table games and the one-armed bandits?
You know, let's turn to question six for a moment. That's the Marriage Equality Act. Governor Martin O'Malley certainly is trying to increase his profile in the Democratic Party. Do you think that passing this bill will become kind of the feather in his cap as he tries to move forward and continue to grow his career and profile in the Democratic Party?
Yeah, I think certainly it's going to be a lead item whenever any national story is written about him, how he was able to motivate the state. And I think he did it in a really compelling way. He didn't make it about a moral issue or even a privacy issue. He made it a legal issue that the laws that apply to non-homosexual people would be the same as ones who are of same-sex relationships. And it was a compelling argument in terms of how to apply the law. And it was an argument that I had never really heard before. And it was one that really caused me to think about it probably in a different way.
Now, day after the election, when we're all chatting here, you know, Republicans in this region are certainly feeling kind of down today based on what happened in the presidential election and, you know, Democrats continuing to hold the Senate. It's interesting where we live here on the Eastern Shore. You know, we live in a traditionally blue state, but we live in a very red region. Steve Green, I mean, where do Republicans go from here? I was at the polls yesterday. I saw a lot of the local Republicans really energized, very excited about this election. And today, you know, obviously they're let down. Where do you think, the local Republican base goes from here? Do they pin their hopes on a guy like Andy Harris, for instance, to try and increase the Republican, you know, place at the table in the state of Maryland?
I don't think that happens. You know, I think the Republicans right now are just licking their wounds. And unfortunately, they're watching the stock market fall and they're blaming the results yesterday. You know, it's already down 300 today, which is a major concern. You know, I mean, my fellow friends in small business are counting down already to 4 years from now. You know, it's whether or not that's true or not, you know that, or, you know, as far as the impact on small business and micro business, which is what I would consider myself, you know, that's, you know, a lot of times that's a judgment issue. You know, Obamacare scares a lot of Republicans, scares a lot of business owners. But I think at this point, you know, I don't think they're thinking that far ahead. I think they're still down in the dumps, and things did not go well for Republicans. I think locally and even nationally, of course, yeah, Andy Harris was reelected, but, you know, he's got a tough road.
You know, I read something in your paper, Greg, that seemed to indicate that perhaps Andy Harris could be one of the more well-known or the most prominent Republican, you know, office holders, Republican legislators in Maryland. Is he the new Michael Steele?
Yeah, it's amazing because just, 8 years ago, there were four Republican House delegation members in Maryland. Four of the eight were Republican. Now it's just Andy Harris. So he's all by himself, a voice in the wilderness, which was sort of the way he was when he was in the General Assembly. And his numbers, I mean, he won by 64%, but his numbers on the lower shore were kind of soft. He won Wicomico 55%. He got 61% of the vote in Worcester, 53% of the vote in Somerset. His carry really came on the western shore. But as always with Andy Harris, and I've said this many times, is that, you know, if you threw an issue at me, I could tell you how he's going to vote on everything for the rest of time. I mean, his ideals and his political stances are so well set that you always know how he's going to vote. So he's not going to be a player at the table. He's not going to be someone that they negotiate with for a vote because his vote is already established.
For both of you, that as we move away from the horse race of this long and marathon-like election season, what are the things that you two are looking for, both on, you know, the local level? We'll start with you, Steve, on the local level, and then Greg will go to you on kind of the state level.
Oh, sure, yes. Well, in Ocean City, then on the micro level, you know, I expect that Ocean City will restore their subcommittees that were immediately abandoned 2 years ago. And I think moving forward in Ocean City that the strategic planning initiative is going to be an excellent tool. That's something that the new city manager, David Recor, has brought with him, and that process is underway. I'm really excited about seeing how that unfolds. You know, I think that will professionalize government in Ocean City to a degree that maybe it hasn't been in the past.
Greg Bassett, how about for the state of Maryland as a whole? What are you going to be watching for?
Well, I think, you know, we're going to watch the gambling thing closely because as gambling expands, there's a lot of concern that there's not the social network ability to help people who have a gambling problem. So in other words, the dollars won't be there for the social services needed for people who are gambleholics. So I think we're going to have to watch that. It's been a problem in Delaware as table games expand. I think you're going to have to watch it in Worcester County as well.
We've been speaking with Greg Bassett, the executive editor of the Daily Times in Salisbury, as well as Steve Green. He's the publisher and editor of the Maryland Coast Dispatch. Gentlemen, thank you so much for joining me in here on Coastal Connection, and get some sleep. It's been a long campaign season.
Thanks, Brian.
Thanks.
We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back. You're listening to Coastal Connection here on 88.3 in Ocean City, Maryland. I'm Brian Russo.